Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Are we ready to learn something about the Word today?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share your Word. Father, you are faithful, and you write the Word on our hearts, and it's a living Word that transforms us. I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, be with us. Amen. My title, we've got a couple more coming in. Good morning. Who is that stranger that's followed you in? Wonderful. Hey, stranger. Oh, so glad you're here. Okay, we're going to get started. We're going to learn today about the power of the Word. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11. Now, this is where Satan tempts Jesus. Let's begin. Everybody there? I want you to take notes today. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now this took place just after Jesus was baptized, and he was about to begin his public ministry. Have you ever wondered why the Spirit would lead Jesus to be tempted? You know, to us, it might not seem like the thing to do, but there was a reason for it. And let me tell you what that reason is. God wanted his Son, Jesus, as well as all believers, to understand that Jesus' purpose for coming to earth as a human was not to come as a conquering king, but as a suffering servant. So, was the temptation real? Yes. And Jesus met that temptation with the way we are to overcome temptation. And that is through the power of the Word. Each time, his response was, "It is written." See, temptation is not a sin. We're all met with temptations on a daily basis. But herein lies the battle, to succumb or overcome. That's what we have to face, isn't it? To succumb or overcome. You don't have to turn there, but just make a note of 1 John chapter 2 and listen as I read verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life." See, Jesus was tempted in each of these areas, and the temptation revealed what was in his heart, to obey his Father. Now, parallel that with what happened with the Israelites. They were wandering around, not for 40 days, 40 nights, but for 40 years. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. Make note of that. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land for which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." Why? It says to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your garments did not wear out, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. You know, the things that we go through, it's for a reason, isn't it? That's when we really, really learn that God is faithful. The first man, Adam, was tempted in the garden, and he failed. Jesus, the second Adam, was tempted in the wilderness, and he passed with flying colors. Our temptations come daily. We must first learn the word, learn how to apply the word, and begin to see the victory in our own lives, because the word has the power to change every circumstance that we face in life. I want to give you a personal testimony we heard this week. Russ and I went to have our taxes done, and Charlie, the man that we've used for years, just a wonderful guy. And he always asks, you know, "How are you guys? How's the church going?" And we just chit-chat for a while, and then we get down to business. And Russ asked him, "Well, you know, how have you been, Charlie?" And he said, "Well, today I'm really good. You should not have asked me last month." And Russ said, "Well, what was going on?" And he said, "I really had a serious situation." He said, "My sciatic nerve, which is on your right side, he went all the way down through his leg, and he said, "I was so incapacitated that I couldn't do anything." He said, "I went to the doctor. They couldn't do anything. I ended up in urgent care. Couldn't find any solution whatsoever." And Russ looked at me and said, "Well, where did you finally get relief?" And he said, "Well, it wasn't anything on this earth. Let me tell you what happened." He said, "It got so bad, I couldn't even get out of bed to use the bathroom." And he said, "You know, it just hurt." And he said, "I was just thinking about the Lord." And he said, "Yeah, I was thinking about when Jesus walked on the earth, he did all of those healings, and we put all of our emphasis on salvation, which is so very, very important, but salvation, he hadn't even gone to the cross yet. So really, healing came first. What am I doing lying here in bed?" And he said, all at once, I knew this was not natural. It was a demonic attack to my body. So he said, I just very simply said, devil, I see your plan of attack, and in the name of Jesus, I confront you with the word of God and the power of the blood of Jesus. I am healed. And he said, instantaneously, it went away. And he said, I have been fine ever since. He said, well, no, I need to take that back. A couple of weeks ago, I began to get the same symptoms. And I said, devil, I'm on to you. I will not accept it. And he said, that quick, it was gone again. See, the power of the word, if we learn to apply it. And Charlie, he's just a good old boy. I mean, he goes to church, but he knew how to use the word. Make note of Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So here again is that important distinction between our spirit man and our soulish man. If we learn to walk in the spirit, we will no longer want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now I'm going to list just four of many benefits of the word. You may want to write them down and study them this week. Number one, the word is food for your spirit man. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. And see, that's what we're doing. We're starting very basic. We're into the milk of the word, but we're going to grow and we're going to get into the meat of the word and we're going to be overcomers in this life. Number two, the word is cleansing. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse you with the washing of the water by the word. Number three, the word is guidance. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And number four, it is strength and security. Luke 6:47-48. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat against that house, could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. That's why we've been spending these first weeks making sure that we are building on the solid foundation of salvation. And we're going slowly building one layer at a time. Now, for our final few minutes, I want to go back to the opening scripture in Matthew chapter 4, where we see Satan tempting Jesus with the words, if you are. And I want you to apply them to us today. How often have we heard those words whispered in our ears? I'm going to open it up for discussion. What do you do when the tempter comes with his bag of tricks? How do you overcome the if you are? You know, if you are really a Christian, why in the world are you doing thus and so? Robbie, I'm going to pass around the... Anybody? How do we overcome the if you are's? Let me give you a little idea. When Satan comes to whisper in your ear, telling you that you are worthless. Have you ever heard that one? You're worthless, you're not gonna amount to anything. Or you have no purpose. You're never gonna live your dreams. It's all pipe dreams. You know, you wish this, you want that, but you're never gonna get there. No one likes you. You ever heard that? No one likes you. You can never do anything right. You really are a mistake. You're a failure. You're going to die of some specific illness. On and on it goes with all of the lies of the devil. Well, you have options on how to handle these lies. You can believe them, especially if you're seeing some of the manifestations, some of the symptoms of what the devil is whispering in your ear. And you can allow fear of his words lining up with what you're seeing or feeling, causing you to believe his lies. Or the other option, you can thank him. Even though you're seeing and feeling the symptoms of what he's saying, you can say, well, thank you, devil, for you have only confirmed what the Word of God says about you. You are a liar and the father of lies. I choose to stand on God's Word, no matter what you say and what the symptoms are that are coming against me. Satan, you can only say the opposite of what God's Word says. So what you need to do is begin to believe what God is saying about you. You need to find scripture. You need to meditate on them. Tell your emotions to come in line with the word and realize that you are a blood-bought son or daughter of God, dearly loved with a new identity that you are working toward fulfilling. We have begun a process of building lively stones on the foundation of salvation, and we are not going to give up until we see the fulfillment of God's promises come to pass. So when the enemy starts with the, if you are really a Christian, defeat him just as Jesus did with the word. Okay, does anybody else have problems with your mind saying, you know, if you're this, that, or the other? We've got time for anybody that wants to talk. Oh. Oh. No, but if you want to hear yourself later on in the week.
Good morning. I get it often with, I'm trying to do something, and I'm steadily attacked. You can't do this. You're not going to be able to do it. And then I just step back and say, devil, get behind me, because I know who my Savior is. And I just start quoting scripture. And before I know it, the thing that I was trying so hard to do, it just comes so easy. So I don't have to call anybody to come and help me. I've got Jesus on my side to help me. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Somebody else. This is your time to share. Sometimes I go over and... Anybody? We have any overcomers in this table?
Yeah.
There you go.
Sometimes I will get this feeling, mainly when I'm alone. It's really scary, and I just won't want to be alone. So I'll say that my Father is the Holy Spirit, and he's not going to let you touch me or do anything to me, and then I'll just feel better.
That's good. Very good. Anybody else?
say the word, I just don't think I can do this. I get the answer right there, and I get the answer right there. I don't have to wait for it, I get it real quick. And it works, it works. I have the advantage over the rest of you.
That really isn't true, but I try always with a positive confession. No matter what my body is going through, he knows when I'm not feeling well, and he'll, what can I do for you, or whatever. And I find myself wanting to say, you know, I really do hurt, but I don't do that. I always say, what do I say? I'll be better in the morning. Because so often people come up with some phony confessions that's really not in their heart. I remember a time back in Bible college, we had a little outlet where students, to make extra money, sold Bibles and had a little publishing house and all of this. And so these two guys were together, and the one said to the other, well, I sold 2 cases of Bibles today. And the guy looked at his watch and he said, well, we haven't even gone out yet. He said, well, that's my positive confession. And the other guy said, huh, where I grew up, that was called lying. And so you have to be really careful, you know, not to get into that trap of, you know, just being phony. We're all real. And when I was reading some of these things, most of them applied to me as I was jotting them down. You know, I felt worthless. I felt, you know, 81 years old. I had dreams. Surely, you know, my time has passed. I don't believe that anymore, but I did at the time. I mean, Vince just has a really new opportunity of ministry. Don't know whether you know about him. Retired minister, worldwide. I mean, you've gone on mission trips here, there, and yonder. And a new opportunity just popped up with him. You want to share any of that?
So 6 weeks ago, we, over the years of ministry, I really try to make things happen a lot. I know nobody else here does. But I've tried to help God along, because I know he needs me. But I'm kidding about that. So 6 weeks ago, we declared together a sheet, blank sheet of paper. It's his papers. We didn't write it down. And we said, God, this is our life right now and our going forward. And put on it whatever you want. And 2 weeks later, I contacted a ministry in Colorado and asked about how I could be a phone volunteer. They have ministry all over the world. And a week later, they contacted me and said, well, we don't want you to volunteer. We want to hire you. So now, the last 3 weeks, I've been calling people all around the country. I haven't gotten people outside the country yet. And just to pray with them. We don't ask for money. We don't do anything. We just pray. And really, we've been in prayer ministry for 25 years, and so it fits right in with the experience that God's given us. So I would say to everybody, get that blank piece of paper before the Lord, especially us that have some gray hair, and God, what is it you want from me? And just leave it alone. And it'll come knocking on your door, I promise.
Amen. So good. So good. He's also Santa Claus in Florida. And he has many opportunities that way. I've heard testimonies of what, well, it's just amazing. Anybody else before we pray? You could at least say I'm glad I'm here today.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for your prayers. I really do appreciate it, and I'm glad to be here today.
Yes, yes, yes. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony that we heard from Charlie, how quickly you respond when we pray and we believe in faith, believing, Father. You are an awesome God. Father, we thank you for the service to come. Be with Pastor Head, Father. Pray, Father God, that we have open hearts and ears and spirits to hear your word this day, Lord, that will be transformed, will be renewed, Father, that we can go forth and do what it is that you have ordained us to do. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.